Welcome to Women of the Wild,
where education and opportunities are key.
And friendships are made to last a lifetime.
Did you get him?
You think we got him? You think we got him?
Got him.
All right, Skylar, what do we got here?
We have nice-looking rip off.
Oh, there she is.
You dropped our great host.
Give me a hug.
Welcome back to Season 2 Women of the Wild podcast. We would like to first start off by thanking our title sponsors for the 2024 year. Atlantic Coral Enterprise, one of the largest import dealers in the world, with excellent quality for hides, skulls, shells, and amazing gifts for friends and family or even your household. You can find them at AtlanticCoralEnterprise.com. RM Custom Call, multiple world championships from Main Street to Live Duck. American-made, veteran-owned, when you want to win on the stage or in the blind, we have you covered. Small shop, big sound. You can find them at rmcustomcall.com or on Instagram. We also have Rhino Land Safaris, providing exceptional quality with unmatched hospitality and cuisine, offering African safaris, a destination hunt for the avid rifle or bow hunter with some of the best trophy management South Africa has to offer. You can find them at rhinoland.co.za or on Facebook, Instagram.
Hey everyone, Andy Lehman here from ACC Crappie Sticks. Just want to let you know about our crappie baits and jig heads. We have a wide selection of the hottest colors and big eye crappie jig heads in the most popular colors and sizes. Check them all out at acccrappiesticks.com. Thank you.
Welcome back to Season 2 Women of the Wild podcast. This is your host, Felicia Marie, and I am here with just an incredible woman who is from Ohio, and I'm really excited for our listeners to hear her story and hopefully be inspired. But I have Lexi Armstrong with us today. Hi, Lexi. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm great. So we briefly got to speak before we started recording, and you are, to me, a very inspirational woman who is kind of like beating the odds, especially you're a small frame woman, and to hear your journey. So I would love to just start with like who you are and how you got started.
Yeah, I'm Lexi. I'm 29. I'm from Ohio, around New Philadelphia. I started hunting when I was probably in middle school, thanks to my dad and my family getting us involved. I have two sisters and a brother. My sisters are not into hunting. They will shoot targets with us. They'll shoot guns, but they do not want to shoot animals. But my brother and I have always, you know, done hunting with my dad.
So now that you have, you know, grown up hunting, what is the outdoors for you now?
So now we do a lot of deer hunting, and I've gotten into bow fishing since the end of 2020. And that's now taken up a large part of my free time and my life. We have started a bow fishing charter called Arrowhead Outfitters. And so we are now taking clients out bow fishing to kind of share the love of the outdoors and being on the river and lakes.
I love it. Bow fishing is so much fun. It's a great way for girls or guys to get out there and just have an absolute blast and not have to worry about, you know, the harvest aspect of it. Like, it's just a fun, exciting, momentum driven experience in the outdoors. And it's so much fun. So I'm really excited that that is something you do, because I have a big passion for bow fishing, and we host a ton of events all over the nation, bow fishing. And it seems to be one of those events that women really gravitate towards.
Yes, absolutely. And that's actually something like a lot of people, I mean, you don't have to be a big and strong individual. I mean, all different shapes, sizes, age groups can be involved. I mean, You can have a compound bow, a lever bow, a crossbow. I mean, you can really rig up just about anything to make sure anyone could enjoy it and be involved with the sport of it.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's all walks of life, all ages. I know we did one last year and it was up in Wisconsin, but we had, you know, girls ranging in ages. We had, I think the youngest girl we had out there was 11 or 12. And we had like girls in their 30s and 40s out there. Like it just doesn't matter. And you get to all just go together and just have so much fun. So that's really exciting. But you have done, we're going to dive back into the bow fishing a little bit later, but I want to talk more about like you as a person, because it's pretty neat. You're in the healthcare field. You've had a past that you were just telling me that you have been on the fire department, that you have done all these things, guiding. Like, I would love for you to just unload how your past has brought you to where you are now.
Yeah, I'm someone, I like to try everything. Like, everything seems interesting to me. I hear something cool and I'm like, well, I want to do that. I want to go try it. And then I do. So I was a hunting guide. I worked on a hunting preserve for about 6 or 7 years. I did pheasant, chucker, quail. We had duck. I wasn't much of a duck guide, but I love working with dogs, handling dogs, watching them work. So I was a part of that for a while, and I was on the volunteer fire department for 3 years for my township. I was the first girl on the department and was certified through the state. And I just appreciate all of the first responder healthcare workers out there. They do a lot for us on the front lines in our country. But for my professional job, I am a dental hygienist by day, and then I'm everything else by night. So I've been a hygienist now for coming up on 6 years. I've been working in the dental profession.
That's awesome. I think that it's really neat that you have that mindset. We were talking and you were telling me that you have this like mindset of like, you're not here to hang with the boys, right? Like you right. can do, there's nothing a guy can do that you can't. And I think that that's a really empowering mindset to have for a female. And for our listeners, since they can't see you, you're not a large framed female. You're tiny. So I think that holds just more impact that, yeah, I'm here and I'm here to do it and I'm going to do it. And I think that that's great.
Absolutely. And I was very fortunate. You know, my dad was someone that he, you know, like I said, he encouraged us girls to get into hunting, to shoot guns. He had us changing our oil. He and I actually rebuilt a 1970 Nova together. So I have a muscle car that my dad and I rebuilt when I was 14. He just wanted to make sure that, you know, we didn't have to rely on men, that we can do it ourselves and make sure that we were independent in that way. And so I do thank him and even some of the other men, you know, grandparents, uncles, you know, in my life that, you know, they didn't discourage us girls going out and hunting with them during gun week. That was such a big deal for us as a kid and growing up as a family. It was our family tradition, you know, when gun week rolled around, everyone was off school, off work. That's when you used your PTO time. And you know, we'd go hunting, and honestly, it wasn't even about the hunting. It was the fellowship, you know, with family, with friends. We would all hang out in the barn and eat lunch together with crock pots that we had nasty hot dogs cooking in all morning. and it was just really cool. You know, it was just a family tradition. And I do feel like over the years that, you know, when the old timers kind of get too old and aren't able to go out and be involved, it is kind of a dying sport, you know, for the gun season and the deer drives. But I was very fortunate to have a strong foundation of support from, you know, the men and women in my family.
Yeah. And we talk about this a lot on our podcast, but I don't think we'll ever talk about it enough that we went through these generations where like our grandparents were like avid outdoorsmen, and we went through where like with our generation, our parents, they did it, but there wasn't a lot of education pushed out there for people. So it was more like you grabbed your gun, you went hunting. Well, now I feel that what we're seeing, especially through organizations like us with Women of the Wild, we are big advocates of bringing back the education, bringing the safety back to the forefront and having that conversation of like the who, what, why, when, where. So we're hosting clinics to you know, have firearm safety and CPL classes, and we're doing shotgun clinics to teach you, you know, the inner workings of your firearm, how to take it apart, how to put it back together, how to safely handle it, how to fit it for you. I feel that we hit a stride at some point in our generations where that kind of got pushed to the back, and we mm-hmm. need to bring that more forward. And I think that what I'm noticing a lot is women, is we have women who want to do this and had nowhere to start. But it sounds like you had a start and an upbringing that this has always been something that was brought to you of like, let's learn this. And I really have to commend your father in that, because a lot of women didn't have that. And a lot of, I should just say youth, it doesn't have to be women, but not everyone grew up in an outdoors family. And I definitely, like, I wonder oftentimes, where would my life be different had I been allowed at deer camp or allowed at fish camp? I grew up fishing, but I was never allowed at deer camp. And it just makes me wonder, because I had a passion for it at such a young age, where things would be different now. And mm-hmm. as a mom raising two kids, they're given the opportunity to be outdoors as much as they want. They may not want to be out there every day, and that's okay. But it's kind of neat seeing this upbringing of our youth and our other generations and these women diving into it. And I love that you're such an advocate of like, let's get out there and do it. We need more of that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I think it's great when people are able to help others, you know, like you said about the education, getting them involved, because I was fortunate that I was being, you know, I was taught and I was educated on how to do these things. And even when I was a hunting guide at the preserve, you wouldn't believe how many people would come. And I mean, like, men would show up. They didn't know how to load their gun. They didn't know to have the safety on. And I'm sitting here looking at them like, you know, is this your first time hunting? And some of them would be like, it is. And I didn't want to discourage it, but it's a little scary because it's like, okay, well, we need to go over some things before we go out in the field here, you know, and someone gets injured, because then that's when the bad, you know, people say guns are bad. And then that's when all that comes in because of an accident happened. And accidents can already happen even when you're being super, super careful. So it's good to try to prevent that any way possible, you know, so there's nothing bad that happens to anyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, now, did you ever have, being a young female, did you ever have any pushback or kickback with that from men as far as like, and I'm not asking that from a standpoint of like, you know, hating on men or anything, but as a female, I think that sometimes, but we have these experiences where sometimes it kind of takes us back, but it seems that instead of having that that negativity, it almost like pushed you forward more. So that's the reason why I ask, is because you seem like a person that it if you have had those types of encounters, that it's pushed you at a very positive standpoint, which is why I want to bring it up, is because I think that sometimes women, we get almost that like talked down to, but someone with a personality like yours is someone that I'm assuming flips that and puts it into a very positive mm-hmm. light.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a double-edged sword. You get praised for doing these things and people are impressed. And then on the other end of it, you know, the guys, I mean, I had clientele that would specifically request me to be their guide. And then there were guys that ended up having me as their guide, and they would be like, well, we don't want a girl. We don't want her. And then it turned into like 20 questions and them trying to make me feel dumb, like I didn't know what I was doing. And I do. I just flip it right back on them, you know, because I used to be pretty sensitive, but when you're out in this type of, you know, field or male dominated areas, you're going to have that, and you have to have a thick skin. And just the fact that you're out there doing it should be enough, you know, just brush off the negativity, I guess, you know?
Yes. Yeah, no. And that's why I wanted to bring that up, because I think so many women, when they have a negative experience, or like you said, they are a little bit more sensitive to something being said, it's very important to understand that you have to have that backbone. You have to have that thick skin, but there's a way to flip it into a positive note. And I think that that is very inspiring, a very inspiring trait for a female to have, because it's pretty easy to get the backlash, and to turn it around into something positive is not something everyone can do, but I think it is a very great trait for a female to have, to be able to stand their ground and flip that around and still have a good time. And then maybe, you know, that next time those guys come out, they didn't want you the first time, but the second time they request you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And it does, it drives you to learn more. I mean, and I have no issue with people educating me. If there's something, I don't know everything. I'll be the first to admit it. I don't know everything. So if someone's, you know, trying to educate me more on a subject, I'm all about learning. But also at the same time, you know, people, I mean, just some people get insecure. I feel like the ones that have the negativity, those are the people that are insecure and their egos feel threatened, I feel.
So now you did all of this and you worked at this preserve and you did Upland and you did rabbit and all of that. Yes. Kind of another jack of all trades female, which I love running into these girls. But after all of this persisted after a few years, now you've dove into, and I want to circle back to the bow fishing aspect and kind of like explain to us what your season looks like through the year.
So for bow fishing, you can do that year round here in Ohio. And we have been out there in the freezing cold in November and December. If the ice isn't covering the entire, you know, river, we're out there. And it's a lot of fun. Now, springtime is the best time, especially at the surrounding lakes, when the fish are going through their spawning season. That is the absolute best time to bow fish. But we still have successful evenings, you know, all the way around the year. So it's just one of those things that, you know, another place to fellowship, hang out with friends and family. And if you miss a fish, you just move on, wait till the next one comes around. I mean, it's a lot of fun, a lot of hooting and hollering and teasing going on, but we really have a lot of positivity that comes out of our trips.
What type of fish are you typically targeting when you're out there?
Carp. There's buffalo carp, you know, there's common. I mean, there's all kinds of different carp. And then we do like the gar, and I will say the gar are my absolute favorite. And it actually, it's a joke between my friends and my fiance and I'm a little obsessive with gar, and I have a gar dar. I'll say I'm feeling, you know, my gar dar is kind of going off. I feel like we're going to have a gar coming up. And it was just one of those things that they're so difficult to hit because they're very long and skinny versus the carp. Well, I was so obsessive with it, but now I can snipe them. And it's like, but now when there's a big old juicy carp right in front of me, I don't even care about that. I want to hit the gar. And so that takes us into my Texas trip. We're going to be going to Texas at the beginning of April, and we're going after an alligator gar, which, you know, one of the big trophies, hopefully ever, you know, over 7 foot long alligator gar. And this is my absolute dream trip. And so I am so ecstatic that we will be leaving in about 18 or 19 days, you know, to go fulfill this dream of mine.
Yeah, by the time this airs, you'll have been back. So we'll have to have definitely shared the photos from that out. I'm really excited for you to do that because alligator gar are super cool. And I'm with you. I typically have more of a drive when bow fishing that I like to go for the harder targets. So like the goldfish, I like the gar. Mm-hmm. I find them more of a challenge. And like you mm-hmm. said, they're a slimmer target. They're harder to hit. What advice would you have for women who maybe haven't bow fished yet? What would be like your one big piece of advice for a female that wants to go do it?
Just jump into it, you know, I mean, and that's how, you know, I met my fiance. You know, I heard that he took people bow fishing and my dad was one of those people. So I shot him a message on Facebook and I said, hey, you work with my dad and I want to go bow fishing sometime. Could you take me? And he said, well, yeah, I'll take you next week. And it's one of those things that, you know, you miss a lot, especially when you're starting out and then you start to learn, you know, you aim lower because of the reflection of the water. And it's a little discouraging at first, but, you know, especially if you're a competitive person, like I'm like, man, I really want to hit this fish. You know, I want to get the next fish. But it's just one of those things that you just literally have to jump into it. And it's a blast, you know, and then when you get your first fish, like I said, a lot of hooting and hollering. I mean, we act absolutely ridiculous. And anyone that is around on other boats or like on the banks of the lakes or the rivers, they're probably like, what are these crazy people doing? And it's just us getting all pumped up when, you know, someone gets a fish. So
Yeah. And for our listeners who haven't done bow fishing, when you do a bow fishing charter, you don't need anything. You need to come out. You need to be dressed for the weather. Good slip resistant shoes are a really great asset on any boat. So any fishing, I would always suggest that, but you guys will supply the bows. You guys will supply all that you don't have to have anything. So it's something that you can not have, you know, a ton of practice behind a bow, not have your own, and you can come out and just try it, see if you like it. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a really nice thing about going out, especially with a good charter captain that it knows what they're doing. You're going to have the right tool set up for you. We can, you know, you guys, I'm sure, can adjust poundage based on the person that's shooting it left-handed, right-handed. So like, don't have the fear that you can't get out there and go with your, with this guide service that you guys have, Arrowhead Outfitters. Mm-hmm. Arrowhead Outfitters. With having that, what is like primary? You said you're going out and you're primarily focusing on carp. What is the primary like time of the year that you guys would encourage people to go out, or do you guide year round?
We guide year round. If someone wants to go out, we'll absolutely take them. We don't care the type of weather, but the absolute prime time would be April into June. I mean, that's the best time with it being spawning and they're just all over the place, you know, laying on top of the water at the surface. But, you know, and you don't even need a boat to bow fish. So if someone isn't able to actually, you know, go out and have someone take you on a boat or on a charter, you can walk along the banks and shoot them from the bank. And really you can use any bow. I mean, you could use a recurve, you could use a lever, a crossbow, a compound, and you can go and just have, you know, the reel and everything just added to a bow that you already have. I mean, you don't have to pour a bunch of money into it, especially starting out. And then if it's something that you want to do, which I will say is an expensive hobby when you want to do it all the time and you want the best of the best, but, you know, that just kind of you accumulate it over time. And, you know, and I wasn't even into archery until high school. And I, you know, started with a little recurve and then I, you know, did a little bit of crossbow hunting. I got a compound. And then when it came to bow fishing, I was using a compound and everyone is different. Some people shoot better with a compound. Some shoot better open sights and shooting fingers with a lever. Well, with the compound, I had the sights on it and I think I was a little too focused with it. So I decided, well, you know what? I'm just going to splurge and I'm going to buy myself a lever bow, which is, you know, similar to like a recurve. And my fiance told me, he said, now, listen, don't be discouraged if, you know, it takes you a little bit to get used to it. Mm-hmm. I shot that bow the best I've ever shot a bow. And I should have just had a lever bow from the beginning. And so now that is just like my right hand. Like I love it. I got that from G-String Bowstrings, the company special ordered it. And I absolutely love my bow. But like you said, I mean, we can turn different bows, you know, different poundages. So if you're not able to draw back, I mean, we make it work. And we've even taken my friend Christian. He's actually in a wheelchair after he was in an accident. Like I have a couple friends that, you know, have some troubles getting around and we got him up on our platform and we took him out. We're like, if you want to go bow fishing, we're taking you bow fishing. And we did, and he got fish and I mean, we had a blast. So we just, you know, we try to make it work for everyone, you know, no matter what.
I love that. It's a lot of fun. What is the name of your bow that you use?
I have a G-Rex and it's from G-String Bowstrings.
Okay. I haven't heard of that one. And I have a compound. I use the Cajun Sucker Punch. And
okay, yeah.
I mm-hmm. really love that bow. But I've tried others out and I am just so comfortable with mine. So I think it is important for people to know that anything that you're using, whether it's a firearm, whether it's archery, whether it's a spear, like everything is going to be, there's no set in stone way to do something. Everybody has their own, every tool is going to fit someone different and everybody's going to have their own preferences. So I think another really great thing about going out with guides is just that being able to use different instruments to find out what fits you best before you decide to go splurge. But yes, bow fishing is so much fun. Like you said, if you want to get started, a really great way is to add that bottle reel or however you want to close mm-hmm. reel onto a setup, or go get you an inexpensive one and go try it and see if you like it, or come out on one of these guided trips and see how you like it. I personally would tell people to do one of the guided trips because it's a whole new level of camaraderie. And I think mm-hmm. that seeing the fish with the refraction and learning all of that is so much fun on a boat versus on shore. But yeah, I think it's great what you're doing. And I think that it's something we don't get to hear very often, that women have such a passion for bow fishing. So that to me is a really neat aspect too, is because you are kind of beating the odds in a very male dominant field. You don't get to see very many women out there bow fishing.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I tell people, you know, if you're even slightly curious or interested, just go for it. I mean, I'm so glad, you know, that I heard about it and, you know, I had never really heard about it prior to that. But like I said, my fiance Ryan, he had taken my dad and my brother out years before. And I was just at a point in my life where I was trying all sorts of new things. I mean, I've gone skydiving 6 times. I've done bungee jumping, whitewater rafting. And, you know, so if I just hear something that my ear perks up a little bit, I'm like, you know what, I'm going to go give that a try. I may be horrible, but I'm at least going to give it a try and, you know, just give it your all.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to cut to a short commercial break and hear from our mid-segment sponsors, but we'll be right back. And we're going to dive into some of those fun experiences that you've had.
Share your love of the outdoors with your little ones through the exciting adventures in Dr. Josh Farr's children's books. As an avid sportsman, Dr. Josh Farr has taken his passion for the outdoors and uses his vivid storytelling to teach valuable lessons and appreciation of the world. Learn the alphabet through the ABCs of hunting. Find joy in exploring the outdoors with Let's Go Out and Play and more. You and your child will love learning about nature with Dr. Josh Farr. See all of his books now at drjoshfarr.com. That's drjoshfarr.com.
Weeby Knives, a brand of skinning, fleshing, and butchering knives perfect for the hunters, trappers, and fishermen, with a unique high-quality knife for animals of all shapes and sizes. You can find them and more information at weebyknives.com or on Facebook, Instagram. Stonehouse Digital Consulting, elevate your small business with Stonehouse's expert marketing solutions. Ignite your online presence and thrive with a tailored strategy to drive your growth. You can find them and more information at stonehousedigitalconsulting.com or on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Livingston County Pheasants Forever, Chapter 465, with a mission to conserve pheasant, quail, and other wildlife through habitat improvements, public access, education, and conservation. You can contribute by joining the meetings on the first Thursday of every month at 7 p.m. at the Howell American Legion Hall on the corner of M59 and Grand River. For more information and to get involved, you can find them at pf465.com or on Facebook, Instagram. Dreamcatcher Charters, a Michigan-based guide service for walleye, sturgeon, and duck hunting, with a passion that drives their success, sharing the phenomenal Michigan waterways with everyone. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram. Feather Moon Outdoors, offering calls made from select materials. Every pot is fine-tuned in the house using the highest quality materials available. Also offering. Welcome back. We are here with Lexi Armstrong from Ohio, and this girl is awesome. She's out there just literally, I said it, you know, beating it into the ground with her, but she's beating all the odds. She's doing a lot of things that are a very male dominant, from being on her fire department to now out doing bow fishing and guiding upland. It's just really neat to hear a female that's out there who is putting this much love and effort and passion into the outdoors, but also willing to share it with so many other people. I would love to dive in to some of these experiences that you have. Like, what is one of these like cool memory stories that will stick with you for the rest of your life that you've gotten to experience?
You know, probably my first experience skydiving would be, it always has like a, it holds a place in my heart. You know, I was going through a rough time in my life, and I decided, like, in the middle of the night, you know what, I'm going on an adventure. So I took off to Nashville. I had never been in Nashville before. I took off completely by myself, and I'm just bebopping my way down there. And I had noticed a billboard that was advertising for skydiving. And I thought, well, you know what, I think I'm going to do that. So I gave them a call and they said they had an opening the next morning. And so I just went over there the next day. And of course, my mom was freaking out. You know, she's like, I can't believe you just left. And, you know, I mean, I was a grown woman. I wasn't like a child running away by any means, but my mom was a little concerned. So I'm like, you know, don't worry. I'm going to be, you know, a little busy for a couple hours. I'll give you a call when I'm, you know, all done. And she's like, Alexis Marie, you better not be getting a tattoo. And I said, I'll call you later, Mom. So I hung up, you know, and I went, and I had never even really, I think I've been in an airplane one time in my life. So I get in this airplane and we just go up. And just like the feeling of the air up there and just like the rush, like I'm an adrenaline junkie. And that was like my first taste of adrenaline rush. You know, they open the door, you're out on the ledge and you just jump. And I just feel like that was the most, as chaotic as it sounds, it was just very, I felt very at peace. And, you know, and then I became addicted to it. So I just wanted to do it again and again. And so I just, you know, like I said, I've done it six times. I've done the bungee jumping. I just love nature. I love being out and about. So just anything that pops in my head that might, you know, get my heart a pumping, I want to try it. You know, same thing with noodling. We had gone to Kentucky and I wanted to try noodling. Now, remind you, my fiance, he is like cool as a cucumber. I'm like a squirrel on cocaine. And so he just like, I'll just be like, hey, you want to go do this with me? And he's like, sure. So we went down to Kentucky and the noodling. Once again, my mom was not impressed with, you know, the decision. I'm the reason for her gray hairs, but she loves me regardless. And that was just another cool experience, you know, just, and I'm not the strongest swimmer. I'm not like a horrible swimmer, but I'm just not the strongest. And I just remember thinking, okay, like, how am I going to hold my breath underwater while I'm being thrashed around? So I asked the guide, the guide of the boat that took us out, I said, you know, the goggles that you have for us to wear, does it have like a nose piece? And he's like, yeah, it has a nose piece, you know, whatnot. And I said, okay, well, I just wanted to make sure because I'll go to Walmart and get one because I was really worried about holding my breath for a long time underwater and being thrashed around by a fish. And we get out there that day and the goggles did not have a nose piece. So I just had to suck it up and I put those goggles on. And that is the weirdest feeling of sticking your hand and your arm into a hole, feeling around for a fish to bite down on you. And, you know, the fish wasn't even a large catfish, but it really put up a fight for me. And then with your adrenaline rushing and trying to hold your breath underwater, it was just one of those things that, I mean, your heart was a pumping and, you know, it was just a very cool experience and, you know, makes you feel kind of cool, kind of like a badass when you finally get it, you know, got the fish out there, got it up on my shoulder and I'm peacocking around that, you know, I just wrestled this thing out of the water. So that is something I would like to do again in the future, but I try to make a list and I want to at least hit everything on my list at least one time, but it's really hard because a lot of these experiences, I just want to do it again.
Yeah. You love it so much that you want to get back out there and do it, but yet you want to keep doing more. And it's hard. It's a hard thing to juggle, especially working full time and running a bow fishing operation. Like it's a lot. I think that's funny how you explain that is like a squirrel on cocaine and then he's just cool as a cucumber. Yeah. But I feel like that's what makes it work, right? Like it'd be really difficult if you were both just squirrels on cocaine everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Oh, absolutely. And it's funny because I always say that timing is everything in life. And as much as I would have loved to have met him sooner, found him sooner, our personalities were so different in our younger, you know, 20s. I think he was a lot wilder and I was a little bit more straight laced and walking the narrow line. So it's funny how over time you kind of grow as a person and change and, you know, and I think timing is everything. And for our anniversary last year, our dating anniversary, he asked what I wanted to do. And I'm like, oh, I don't know. Like, what do you want to do? And he said, well, whatever you want, just let me know. So I signed us up for skydiving. And he's just like, I'm not even surprised anymore. He's like, okay, I figured it was going to be something of that sort. And And it's funny because now, like, I've gone skydiving so many times just because of the fact that people are nervous to go, and they'll just text me and be like, hey, you want to go skydiving with me? Because I know you've done it before. So I'm more there just for moral support. And so I've gone a few different times with friends that were nervous to go. And then for my dad's birthday, he is a little bit more adventurous than my mom, I will say. So I signed him up for skydiving and didn't tell him till we were like on our way there. Which I knew he would do it. I would never sign my mom up because my mom would beat me, you know, if I would have done that. But I figured he would do it. And when I told him, I could tell he was a little nervous, but he was pretty excited. And he said that was probably the best birthday gift he ever had. So it worked out okay in the end.
That's pretty awesome. And you and your dad seem to have a really close-knit relationship. And I'm sure that the outdoors has brought the two of you together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, and like I said, we rebuilt a 1970 Nova together. He brought this car home and surprised me when I was 14. And it's not like what people think. Like, people think it was like all in one piece. No, this was like a stolen and recovered car. There was nothing. There was no front clip. There was nothing to it. And he's like, well, if you want a cool car, you got a cool car. He's like, you just got to put some work into it. And it's actually funny because it took us probably 6 years to complete it. And he worked swing shifts. You know, I was in high school working and doing sports, but I do feel like he drug it out a little bit just so we could spend more time together, because we spent so much time in the garage, you know, working on it, finding car parts. And it's so funny. We would go to like these shady places off of Craigslist to look at a car part. And I'm always like, man, we're going to get killed one of these days doing this. But it always ended up working out okay.
That's funny. And you have that car to this day?
Yes, I do. It's in storage right now. But he's the only person I let drive it pretty much. I mean, I let my fiance, I do trust him, but my brother and everyone always wants to, you know, drive it. And I'm like, I'd rather not, you know. You know, when you put that much time and effort and money into something, you just don't want anything bad to happen. And so I try to drive it respectfully, but it is really fun shifting gears and, you know, going a little fast in it.
I love it. Oh, that's cool. I think that's a really great thing that I would encourage parents, and it doesn't have to be some muscle car, right? But like, to pick a project and do it together with your children, because it does, it leaves this lifelong impression. It builds bonds, and it creates that memory that's going to stick with you forever. So I love that you two did that. It's something I actually went to auto body school when I was in high school. And that was something that, like, I wish that my dad and I would have done. And, you know, we've talked about doing it with my kids and things like that. Now that they're getting older, I have a 10-year-old and a 14-year-old. And we actually just like 2 weeks ago, we're discussing with my 14-year-old about doing something of that manner just for that purpose. I think it just builds this great bond that's unmatched.
Mm-hmm. And I tell people, you know, I've done even in the last 4 years, but, and then looking back at the car, you know, I was very fortunate. You know, we weren't rich by any means, but my parents, you know, took care of us, and not everyone has that. And it's sad, you know, when you look around and not everyone has, you know, parents to help and support them. And so I try to be very thankful that I was fortunate, you know, that I was able to experience all of that with him, you know, being in the outdoors and working on the garage, you know, on the car. But I've just been very lucky growing up.
Yeah, that's really great. So, with all of that, do you have things in your future that you have planned coming up? You were saying you have like this list. What are some of the things that you want to still try to do?
Well, there's a few, and I don't even know if I should even say them publicly. My mom, if she listens to this, she's going to be so mad at me. I've always wanted to ride a bull, not a mechanical bull. Like, I want to legit go out and get on a bull. And I actually looked into bull riding school. And honestly, like, the only reason why I haven't done it right now, if I do get injured, I want to still obviously be able to work and support myself. But it's just one of those things I've just always wanted to try. What else is there? my fiance, he wants to do a red stag hunt. So that's something now that made my, you know, ears perk up. He's always wanted to go to New Zealand and do that. So we've looked into that a few times, and there's just so much to do. And I always tell people, you know, if I would die tomorrow, for how much I've done in my life, I'm very fortunate and so grateful. Like, I know I could die a happy girl, that knowing all the stuff I've done and how lucky I've been, but there's still so much more out there I just want to do. And then there's a thing called wing walking on planes, where you get up on top and you have your feet kind of in, you know, and you're just like out walking on the, you know, standing on the wing of the plane. I've seen that on TikTok, and I would love to try that. I mean, there's just so many different things. I don't know if I'll get to all of them, but it would be really cool to do it all.
You really are an adrenaline junkie.
I figured, you know, I'm going to be turning 30 at the end of the year, and my poor mom, like I said, she's just wanting me to settle down.
and you're like, no, I want to go walk on a plane wing.
Oh, absolutely. Like, I just have so many different things that I want to do. And I just feel bad because, you know, and if I do at one point have children, I know I probably won't be doing these things, you know, and I don't know that I will have kids, but if so, I do want to try to get it out of my system prior to having them. But it's just, I enjoy it. I do. I sit here, and if I don't do something for a little while, I get the itch again. And it's so funny because even my patients at the dentist office that I see every 6 months, every 4 months, they'll come in and they're like, okay, fill me in. What have you done since I've seen you last? And they want to know everything, you know, every little detail. And it's just funny because a lot of people are rooting me on, and I've even had people reach out to me and say, well, we're really living through you. You know, we might not get to do this stuff, but we love watching you do it.
Yeah, I think, and I'm a vicariously living through other people thing too. Like, I get to go experience a lot of cool things that, you know, a lot of people would love to do. And it's because I've been blessed with some great opportunities, but I do the same thing. And I think that that's a really great topic that you just brought up, is the fact that we don't have to compete with anyone. We can be here to support each other and be excited for those successes for them. And I love watching other women, other people out there just living their life to the fullest, having an absolute blast. And I think that a lot of times there's, whether it's jealousy or what it is, but like, people feel they need to be in competition with one another, and you don't. Like, you can be out there and you can be so supportive of what someone else is doing. And yeah, you can be like jealous, like, man, I wish I could do that. And that's okay. Mm-hmm. But you have to like, accept it with a stride of, that is incredible that they got that opportunity.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that's a good way to look at it. It should be encouraging to you. And I love seeing people do great. I love seeing, especially other small businesses. I want to see them thrive. I want to support them in any way possible, because I know how that is. You know, I love getting support myself, and so I try to reciprocate that to others. And the people that get jealous and get heated over, you know, just the experiences, and that have negative things to say, I just feel like they're just not happy with themselves. And I do, I just like, why? You know, you need to look at what you're happy. We all go through a time in our life, I feel like, where really unfortunate things happen, and different people to different degrees, but you also can't have a pity party for yourself. And I went through a time in my life where it was a pity party, and you know what? Nobody cares, and no one's going to want to, you know, nobody really helps you. You have to help yourself. And I finally got myself in that mindset of being like, okay, you know, I'm going to make myself happy. I'm going to go do these things that make me happy. And I work hard, you know, I work hard at my job, and that way I can do these things. And like I said, I've been blessed with a lot of different opportunities as well, along with working hard.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that it's great. And it goes to show the type of person you are. Like, we all have the same 24 hours in a day. It's what you choose to do with them. But on top of that, it also has to do with what you're willing to do in that 24 hours. Like, you have somebody like you, who's like a yes person, I want to go do it. I think that's really important, is for people that want to go experience things and want to have these adventures. You have to be a yes person. You have to say yes to things. You have to be willing to do things that are making you uncomfortable to have those moments. And it's so worth it. Like, it's okay to be scared of something, and it's okay to be nervous, But you need to decide whether being scared and being nervous to do something would outweigh the reward. And if that answer is no, then you should do it. And I think that that's a really big thing too, is encouraging others to get out there. And if they think they want to do something, if it's unsafe, and because like skydiving, right? Like, yes, it is an adrenaline rush, but it's still being done in a safe manner, right? There's still precautions being taken to make sure you're not going to get hurt. Same with bungee jumping. So I'm not encouraging you to just like go jump out of a plane with somebody who doesn't have like the right parachutes and everything like that, or the right equipment for you. But if you're going with a company who's going to do their best to keep you safe, it's a pretty safe bet to go do these things, even though it scares the hell out of you. And that's okay. But that's, I think, when you wear down that hard shell that we all like to have, and you find that vulnerable spot and you get to have those moments of just pure joy, and you might find something that has needed to be there to feed your soul for so long, and you were too scared to say yes.
Absolutely. And I tell people, you know, because people will say, well, you're crazy. Well, one, I already know that. I don't care. Two, they're like, well, that's stupid. Well, no, you know, tomorrow's not promised for anyone. You can do everything right. You can eat and drink everything you need to stay healthy. And you know what? There's still accidents that happen. I drive a car every day to work. You know, my chances of probably dying in a car accident are much greater than me skydiving out of a plane. So you just have to pick and choose your battles and look at it as, you know, well, guess what? If something would happen skydiving, I went out with a bang and I was happy doing it, you know?
Absolutely. Definitely. You have to feel that way. And you're right. I mean, the things that we do in a day-to-day life put us more at risk than taking those risks. And I think that, like I said, you just have to outweigh whether it scares you more than what it's going to reward you. And it might just surprise you what you're capable of doing, but it's also that moment that after you've done this thing that you thought you could never do, it then breaks down this piece of you that is so much more empowering to be like, oh my gosh, I was terrified of this and I did it. Like, that to me is very important. That you shouldn't always feel intimidated by something. And if you see something you want to do, you should do it. And whether that's, you know, a trip out west or skydiving or bungee jumping or whatever it may be, if you find something that just looks like a cool, good idea, go try it. I hear that with like our events with Women of the Wild, of, you know, these women that were scared to go do something because they've never traveled out of state or they've never done a trip like this. But then they do it and they're like, this is probably the best experience I've ever done. And I'm so thankful that I chose to do it because I almost backed out or I almost didn't come the day before the event because I was too scared. And they do it and they have just an amazing time.
Absolutely. And, you know, and that was another thing. So I actually went to Georgia by myself for a hog hunting trip at one point. And I tell people, if you are comfortable with going by yourself, then you should absolutely do it. I don't encourage that to people who are not comfortable. I was comfortable. I am a firm believer in the Second Amendment. I carry, and I took a lot of safety precautionaries, you know, heading down there. But it was funny because a lot of people aren't used to seeing a girl traveling by herself. So when I showed up at that hunting lodge at the outfitter, all these guys were like, what are you doing? Like, who are you here with? And I said, I'm here to go hog hunting by myself. And they were like very concerned. Like they looked like they were scared of me. And I'm like, well, didn't you come here by yourself too? And some of them did. And they said, well, yeah, but that's different. And I'm like, no, it's not. You know, it's really not when you think about it. And I actually became friends with quite a few of them down there. And actually, the manager that was running the place, I'm still in contact with him till this day. And they're like, remember when you came down here that one year by yourself? And I'm like, yeah. But I'm one of those people that, you know, I actually had people lined up to go with me to go hog hunting that fell through. And I am like, no, I'm still going. I want to go, you know, and I'm not going to let other people's plans that got changed, you know, change my own plans. So I still went. And I'm so glad I did. I became friends with so many new people and got to experience a new place.
Will you call me next time? I'll go.
Perfect.
I am I saw this post the other day on social media, and it said something about like we're at a point in our lives where we have friends where it's like, let's go to Africa on Friday. And I was like, oh man, I feel targeted. That, and I don't remember who posted it or why it was posted, but I was like, that's 100% me. Like I had a couple of girls call me back in January. We were down because I'm a mentor for the First Hunt Foundation, and it's a national nonprofit for getting new hunters in the outdoors. Well, I was helping my friend Kim guide some sandhill cranes. And after the event, two of the girls called me and they're like, hey, do you want to go to, and I live in Michigan. So they're like, do you want to come back down here in 2 weeks and do a hog hunt? And I was like, I mean, I want to say yes, but I have to look at, like, I have to be an adult. I have to look at my schedule. I am a mother. So I'm like, to come back down in just 2 weeks. And I talked to the girls at work. I, you know, talked to the kids about it, and everybody was like, go. And I was like, all right, I guess I'm coming. And they're like, no way. And I was, yeah, like, let's go. So like 2 weeks before this hog hunt, I just was like, yep, let's go. And I'm so glad I did. Like you said, I traveled from Michigan to Texas completely by myself, landed, got on an airplane, got there, got a rental vehicle, drove 4 hours to get there completely by myself. And it was like, I had my bow with me, and I was just so grateful that I got to do it. It was an all women's hunt, but I got to meet some incredible women. The guys there, I still talk to them. Like, it's just a great experience. And it's very empowering to know that you can go do those things by yourself, because you definitely can. But like you said, you need to take the proper precautions. You need to be aware of your surroundings, and you 100% can travel by yourself.
Yeah. And that's another thing that I encourage women, especially, to get into self-defense training if you're able to. And I was lucky enough that I was able to, you know, be in some mixed martial arts for a little bit and did some Brazilian jiu-jitsu. And not only is that like a confidence boost for you, but it really does help. And, you know, in the heat of a moment, you really truly don't know who's all crazy out there. And, you know, there's just a lot of things that can happen. And so if there's any way to prevent that, you know, whether it's, you know, carrying a firearm, whether it's having the self-defense training, like every little bit can help in a situation. And that's my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. And we as Women of the Wild also agree and support that. So we actually have CPL classes coming up in several states, because we are very big advocates for our Second Amendment, but also we have some self-defense classes that are going to be coming because we want these women to be prepared. We don't want women to feel like they can't go travel. So if we set you up for success, it's kind of like building the blocks to get you to where you need to be able to go do some of these traveling. And like you said, have that confidence boost. We definitely want to put you there, whether it's with us or with someone else. We would like to give you that education and that training. Pray to God you never need it, but it definitely is a big piece of confidence to have that in your arsenal to keep yourself protected. And maybe it's just day-to-day life. Like, you don't know, going to a grocery store by yourself, especially as a female, you know, bad people are everywhere, and things can happen. So it's just nice to have that little bit of security in the back of your mind, that peace of mind that I'm going to be able to keep myself safe. And I'm going to be able to, the other big thing for that is with those self-defense classes is they teach you what to look for and to be ready for those moments. It's not always necessarily just, you know, defending myself, but it's teaching you the precautions to take or how to avoid those situations, because obviously that's what we would prefer. But I'm glad you said that, because that is a topic that we fully support, and women across the board should be supporting that. It's empowering to other women to know that you're going to keep yourself safe. So we're going to jump to one more commercial break to hear from our ending sponsors, and we will be right back. And we are going to dive into another piece of Lexi that we have not brought up yet about some of her little fur babies at home. So stay tuned. We'll be right back. And now to the final segment to this week's episode of Women of the Wild podcast. We will conclude this segment by thanking our closing sponsors. Stay tuned for more of this week's episode after this short word from our sponsors. Muzzy Pheasant Farms, a mid-Michigan family-owned and operated pheasant game preserve that is open year-round. Muzzy offers educational courses and hunts. They are family-oriented, creating a great opportunity for new and seasoned upland hunters. With no membership required, come hunt with Muzzy Pheasant Farms. You can find more information at muzzypheasantfarms.com or check them out on Facebook and Instagram. Blast and Cast Guide Service is a veteran-owned and operated Michigan-based guide service for the Great Lakes. With decades of experience of fishing and waterfowl, they ensure a safe and enjoyable trip every time. You can check them out at blastandcastguideservice.com or on Facebook and Instagram. Ultimate Veteran Adventures. UVA offers outdoor therapy, recreation, and camaraderie through hunting and fishing adventures around the country for veterans, active duty military, Gold Star families, and first responders. You can find them at ultimateveteranadventures.com or on Facebook and Instagram. Sawmill Creek Bait and Lures, a husband and wife owned and operated company, the home of the C4, one of the best trapping canine lures on the market. You can find them at sawmillcreekbaitandlures.com or on Facebook and Instagram. Wicked 7 Outdoors, a Southwest Texas outfitter guide service with an exceptional care and quality of backcountry mountain hunts for free-range audad. Also offering high fence and low fence exotics, come immerse yourself in the outdoor experience. You can find Wicked 7 Outdoors on Facebook and Instagram. Misguided Outdoors is a female-driven Michigan-based guide service offering turkey and waterfowl hunts. Misguided is focused on educating women and youth, providing a hands-on hunt experience for all ages. You can find them on Facebook and Instagram. We thank you for tuning in, and we hope you enjoy the rest of this episode. Welcome back. We are here with Lexi, and we have dove into your just spunky, sprightly personality and your ability to just get out there and go, this adrenaline junkie rush, but also you as a female that is out there just conquering this outdoor world, whether it's skydiving, you know, working at the fire department, like you said, out guiding. And it's just, it's really great to connect with a female that has this much drive, love, and passion for the outdoors, but it goes beyond that. And I really wanted to bring this up mainly because as hunters, we get a lot of ridicule as, you know, we're just out here to kill animals or whatever it may be. But in all actuality, we're animal lovers, and you especially are an animal lover. So I'd love to dive in to what you have at home, because it's a little bit different than what most would see.
Mm-hmm. So I have two domesticated foxes. I have a male and a female. My male, he is a mix between a red and a silver, and his name is Ghost, and he was the first one that I had. And then my female, her name is Rue, and she is a silver fox. So she's all black and has the silver tips. Now, they are absolutely rotten to the core. And they now have an enclosure outside, so they spend most of their time, you know, being outdoors. But when they were solely in the house, they are thieves. They steal and hide everything. They would steal food, cookies, gummies, candy, I mean, anything that they can get a hold of, or they would just run in and like steal socks, shoes, bras. I have so many videos of them just taking off running and trying to hide things. And it's so funny to me because as a kid watching Dora the Explorer, they have Swiper the Fox and he swipes everything. And I didn't realize that that was actually what foxes do. Like they legit just take everything and hide things, and they just can't help themselves, even though they know they're not supposed to take certain items. So we have had quite the experience the last two years of having them. So it's been definitely interesting and a learning curve for us.
Yeah, I think it's really neat. And it just goes to show how much compassion and love you have for animals, that you want to foster these animals in and love them. And they're a part of your family, whether they're in an outdoor enclosure or indoors. It's the outdoor enclosure is more for their benefit than your own. Yes. But I think that it's really neat. It's something you don't see often. And I have a hard time with a lot of these people that think that a hunter doesn't have the compassion for animals, because in all reality, we have a lot. And, mm-hmm. Yeah, just, it's pretty neat to me that you have foxes, because you don't see that very often. And it's like having what, like a perpetual 2-year-old in your house at all times. That's
yes. And the thing is, they're so stinking cute that like you can't even stay mad at them. I mean, they do something bad and you're mad for a split second. And then I'm kind of like, well, they can't help it. And my poor fiance, he has a love-hate relationship with them. Now that they've been more out in the enclosure, it's gotten better just because they want to dig. They want to do a lot of, you know, instinctive things that they're used to doing when they're out in the wild. And so they keep busy. We built them like a makeshift obstacle course. And, you know, they have different shelves to jump up on. And even though they're out of the canine family, they are basically like a mix between a cat and a dog. We call them our little cat dogs because, you know, one minute they seem like they're a dog. And then the next minute they kind of act like a cat. You know, they're more active at nighttime. They like to hop up on the windowsill and knock things off of shelves. And I feel like that's definitely cat behavior. But they are funny and they definitely love attention and they're nosy. I mean, if you have anything on you that's new, like if I have a pair of sunglasses that I put on, they instantly want to see them. They want to come up and kind of nibble on them. Like they want to see and investigate what this is. Is it something I can take? Is it something I can eat? But they are definitely interesting. And right now they still have their winter coats. So they're all big and fluffy and beautiful, but in about a month, they're going to look really mangy when they start to shed their winter coat. And then people will ask me, are they okay? They look like they're mangy. And yes, this is just their summer coat now, you know, but it's funny because we have a lot of people that are interested and love following them and just to see, you know, pictures and videos and people are just curious. They like to see, you know, something that they didn't even know in Ohio that you could legally own foxes, you know, with the correct permits and such. So it's definitely been a learning experience like for other people as well in my community.
Oh, I'm sure. So what is their like personalities like?
So Ghost is now neutered and he is a little bit more where he is chill. He is, he's still curious. He still likes to have some affection, but they don't always like to be petted or touched. Kind of like what a cat, I feel like dogs are just happy to have your lovings and attention. And they're a little bit more moodier, you know, towards kind of like a cat. So he is a little bit more chill, more laid back. Rue, she is younger than him and she's not yet spayed. And so that might be a couple other things that play into it, but she is absolutely nuts. She's a little crackhead. I mean, she runs around with the zoomies and I sometimes, depending on what she's doing, she may be called Spawn of Satan. It just depends on her mood. But I love them both so dearly. And they love having each other. They're a type of animal that they kind of thrive in pairs. So it's really nice to have two of them now. And that's something that, you know, originally we were only having the one fox, but then we felt like he needed a friend. So we brought home the second one.
Yeah, no, I think it's neat. And I kind of like in my head, you have to have permits, right? So you have to have the proper permits. And then they have to come from a USDA breeder. It's not like you can just go, you know, rescue a fox pup from outside. Like there are stipulations to this for those people that are listening that are going to get impulsive and want a fox. There's regulations that you do still have to follow. You do have to get from a USDA breeder. And there's a lot of exotic animals that because they're considered exotic, there's a lot of exotic animals that you can have, but you do have to have that right permits. But more so beyond that is making sure that you have the capability of taking care of them. So not encouraging anyone to just go out and get a fox, but I just think that it's really neat that you have done the proper steps to have them and then making yourself aware of what they need and putting them outdoors and giving them, like you said, that little obstacle course and giving them the shelves. Mm-hmm. Like you really go above and beyond to care for these animals. And it's just that misconception that we are, you know, absolutely can't stand animals or whatever it is that, you know, the antis want people to believe. And it's funny because everyone that you talk to loves animals and they all have like their unique thing, but the foxes was a new thing that I've heard. So I was very intrigued by that. And it's not that you can't go rescue a fox. There's definitely permits that you can do and licensing that you can have to be in, like a wildlife rehabilitator. That's different. But what yours is, and you're in Ohio, so I know that yours is a little bit different than here in Michigan. What does that take for someone in your state to have a fox?
So basically I contacted DNR and was trying to get the guidelines. And basically the permit that I had to purchase was called a non-commercial propagate permit. And you just send an application in and they will either approve or deny you. Well, then that is something that you renew every year for $25-$30. It's pretty reasonably priced and kind of just takes place of your dog license, like if you would have a dog. And then a wildlife officer reached out to us and just wanted to see our documentation to show that, yes, we did purchase them from a breeder. We did not pluck them from the wild. And they may stop by the house too. I think he was just curious and just wanted to see them. And I, you know, cause they love that stuff too. And I don't encourage everyone to get them. Like we, you know, we don't have any human children. I just have, you know, the foxes. And so like we can put all of our time and energy into these two little guys and, you know, we have the setup for them, but I've had so many people contact me and was wanting more information. And I'll be the first one to say they're high maintenance and it's not easy. You know, you put a lot into it and they're ornery and they don't always want to listen and you can't even discipline them like the same as you would a dog or a cat. So it's a whole different ball game. And I am very happy though that we did get them because I do, I just love them dearly and I just enjoy being with them and watching them and they love me back too, but they're little stinkers though. I mean, they definitely are ornery.
I love it. I think it's pretty neat. And Lexi, I've really, really enjoyed speaking with you. If anyone wanted to find you, follow your journeys through your adrenaline, through the bow fishing, through your foxes, where would they find you?
You could find me on Facebook. My personal page is just Lexi Armstrong, and you will see pictures and videos of my foxes all down my timeline. If anyone would like to book with us or would be interested in bow fishing or camping, that would be our Arrowhead Outfitters LLC on Facebook. And I also have an Instagram page.
That's awesome. And I look forward to hopefully doing some things in the future together. Lexi, for those who have listened to this podcast, I really encourage you to go follow what she's doing. She's a very inspirational woman and a very humble person that is willing to talk. So share experiences and whatever is needed out there to inspire more women to get out there. So I definitely encourage that. Also be sure to check out our www.womenofthewild.net. We have a ton of events. We have a lot of educational courses, both online and in person coming up. We have our Wild Game Cookbook Volume 2 that is currently on the website. And that is wild game recipes from women all over the nation sharing recipes from foraging, gardening, hunting, fishing, you name it, it's in there. You want to learn how to cook a squirrel or a bear, you can find it in that book. We also have our calendar contest that coming out in May, we'll be releasing for the third year of running our Women's Inspiration calendar, along with the Volume 3 cookbook that is going to be coming out as well. But we thank you for listening and we can't wait to see you in the field.